This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, Irirangi Tumotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Kia ora and welcome to the Joy Jam. You're listening to Marie Gibson and I am the host of the show, the Joy Jam. If you are tuning in, you are listening to podcast number 80. And today, I want to reach out to parents. I want to do a show about parenting, possibly because it's that time of year that's really bloody hard financially, mentally, emotionally, time spent. There's a lot of focus on kids at this time of year as we get ready to send our darlings back to school or whatever. I don't think it's getting any harder, any easier for parents. In fact, it's getting harder to navigate this whole new world as a parent. There seems to be a whole new way of parenting that, oh my goodness, as a grandmother, or as a Gigi, as I'm called, I'm learning so much about the psychology of parenting, new psychological ways of parenting, new emotional techniques, emotional intelligence. It's wonderful. Don't get me wrong, but there's so much pressure, I think, now to just get it right. Maybe there was always that pressure. I think there was. I certainly was fraught with anxiety of getting it wrong, of constantly feeling like a failure as a parent. And I don't think that that's new. I think that that's a story as old as time. We carry guilt. You know, I listen to my stepdaughter and this feeling of being guilty every time that she's not reading to Ellie if she puts on a program for, my granddaughter to watch just because she needs a moment. You know, I think as parents, we are supposed to be on 24/7. And that's not the case. It's not sustainable. And it's okay. In fact, it's vital that you take time for you. You take time to recharge. Because there is no such thing as the perfect parent. We're all just kids trying to play up grown-ups' games, you know, trying to do the best that we can. And I think that everyone that has a child really sets out to do the best that they can. And for the most part, they are doing the best that they can. Unfortunately, sometimes that best isn't good enough. Sometimes what that looks like is pretty sad and pretty dysfunctional. And I certainly taught and have coached some people that, you know, were on the other end of some less than stellar parenting. However, those parents, for the most part, were trying their best. They were attempting to parent, but maybe they didn't have the skills or the nous or hadn't been parented well themselves. So I take my hat off to any parent that is just really trying to be the best parent that they are, that they can be. That are you know, going out of their way to educate themselves on new information that's out there, new techniques of parenting, new ways of being a parent. Because we are in an ever-changing world. However, our little darlings in this ever-changing world do tend to push the limits. They, you know, I learned that kids feel safe with boundaries, that, you know, they know and feel secure when they know where that boundary fence lies. However, the only way they're going to know that is probably by pushing it and know that, oh, yeah, no, that was a step too far. Mum or dad or whoever is not going to take too kindly if I try that one again. Or if you're like me, you just kept pushing on that boundary fence until it all caved in. And your parents just said, do whatever you want because I'm over it. I feel like that was mum and dad at several times that they caved in simply because they couldn't be bothered putting up with my shit. So that made me think that there are some fights worth having. But how do we know which fight is worth having and which one is just worth giving in to? Because my parents gave in, I think, a little bit too readily. And the message that I got from that, as a kid, this is, not saying it was true, is I feel a little unloved. And that's an absolute crock of shit because I was loved fiercely. I was loved unconditionally because sometimes I behaved in a way that was pretty unlovable. And yet my parents still showed up loving me regardless. But they did let me get away with a lot of shit. I certainly didn't tolerate that from my own children. And so I think to myself, what if I had stronger boundaries? Would I have just crossed them anyway? I don't know. But it was pretty easy to manipulate my parents and get them to cave in. You know, they were busy, hard-working parents that just didn't have the time to put up with my shit, I guess. And so it was easier to just to say yes to me. But there are some no's that I learnt as a parent myself, that I've learnt through failing as a daughter, that were worth pursuing. And so I've been thinking about which ones they were. Fortunately for me, I didn't have to think too hard because there was something just sitting there on Facebook. And it's called The Eight Fights Worth Fighting, or something like that. Yeah, it is. Eight Fights Worth Picking with Your Kids. Love this. A little tale about fighting with your kids. And it's okay. So no, we don't have to be that type of new age parent that looks like you're just giving in to everything. Because some fights are worth picking. So let's have a look at them. I saw this somewhere, and it was immensely helpful. Because parenting is hard, right? Parents have to choose their battles. You know, which ones are worth having and which ones aren't. Which ones are you going to cave in on eventually anyway? So here are eight fights worth picking with your kids. And I agree with every single one of them, gotta say. First one, the reading fight. Make your kids read because reading is tied to everything from cognitive development to the ability to focus. Make your kids read now. You know, that was one, you know, I always read to my kids, loved reading to my kids, loved reading aloud. And maybe I just like hearing the sound of my own voice. It was reading kept me company as a child. Really, really did. I was able to occupy my own time because I was able to read. I was able to escape some unhappy times by taking myself off to imaginary places in books. And that was wonderful. I was able to become a critical thinker because I was an avid reader. And I really valued that. I was able to pursue education because I was a good reader. So I read relentlessly to my kids. My daughter, as soon as she could read to herself, stopped wanting me to read aloud to her. And she was like, "No, Mum, I'd rather read it to myself." That's just the kind of kid she was. And then my son, well, he adored being read to. You know, Thumb would secretly go into the mouth. He would lie back and blissfully be transported through and into another world through the sound of his mother's voice. But I realized with my son that actually what I was doing was I was allowing him not to pursue that art of reading himself. So how did I get round that? I made him read. How did I make him read so that it didn't feel torturous? Well, luckily for me, he was obsessed at the time when I realised this. He was probably 10 or 11. And it wasn't that he couldn't read, but he couldn't read well and he didn't choose reading. It was a bit of a chore up until this bit. But my son was obsessed at the time. Can't remember the author, but the title of it was Conspiracy 365, something like that. And each book was a month, 365 days. So each book was a month in this kid's life. And it was action-packed kind of book. The big mystery, you know, being chased, all of that. And I got to about May, I think, May or June, before I realised that actually my son wasn't reading. He was just being read to, which was, you know, it was lovely. It was creating, you know, nice bonding time. But actually I wasn't creating the opportunity for him to read to himself, which was an important skill. So I made him read. I stopped. In fact, I think, yes, I was. I was halfway through June and I made him finish the book. Oh, he hated it. Absolutely hated it. It was torturous. He probably didn't take in a lot as he, you know, forced himself through each word to learn to read it. But he did. And then he picked. So I was so excited when he finished June. Ran out, bought July. Took him quite a while to read July. But possibly only took him as long as the half of the book in June took. So then he was finished July. Then I bought August. And you can tell how it went. He, you know, he started devouring these books, and I knew that I had created a reader. And that was exciting stuff. Really, really loved that. Loved that for us. So that is an amazing fight to continue and persevere with your kids. They will never regret that. As an adult, that you made them read. Next one. Oh, and I can see a lot of parents that are really going to relate to this fight. It's called the outside fight. make your kids go outside. The natural world teaches us things. Plus, outside, there's sunshine, fresh air, and exercise waiting for them. Most importantly, nature is full of things in short supply in our world. Discovery, wonder, peace, joy. I love that, the outside fight. You know, my kids were outside kids. My son, oh my goodness, he was, you know, he would roll around in the sand, he'd roll around in the mud, he'd just walk around in the paddocks when he was little. And he was so happy. He was so happy without technology. He, you know, we bought him so many things that had wheels. He was a bit wheel obsessed and still is to this day. But he was outside discovering and entertaining himself. He loved computer games when he went to other people's place. You know, he wasn't a complete, I don't even know what the word is. He wasn't completely ignorant of the technological world that I kind of denied my kids when they were young. He embraced it, and my kids are both like every other young person their age, pretty obsessed with social media, with gaming, with everything. You know, it wasn't that making them go outside more robbed them of what is new and current in this world. But they both value still to this day just being out and about. You know, I noticed that my son's favourite activity is to go bush or go camping with his mates, just four-wheel driving up in the hills. I love that. My daughter's favourite activity, probably still lying in bed reading a book. Love that. Okay, next one. The work fight. Make your kids work. I'm saddened by how many parents don't require their kids to lift a finger at home. There are priceless life principles that you can only learn with a mop in your hand. Let sweat be their teacher. That was a fight possibly I didn't take far enough as a parent. You know, I could have got my kids to do a lot more. I look at my wife's children and their ability to just lift a hand, you know, to offer help and to just get stuck in and to do a job properly. And I do believe it was because their mum made them work when they were younger, made them do chores. And I love that. You know, I really respect and value and are grateful for the physical hand that my stepchildren have given us. And that's not to say that my kids aren't helpful, but it's definitely a skill that isn't as well developed as my stepchildren. So make them fight. They still have a strong work ethic, my kids. I was going to say, my kids do have a good work ethic. They both gainfully employed and really good at their jobs. However, they probably value that work ethic more because they're being paid, if I'm to be honest. But still, they still value work, right? Okay, next one. The meal fight. Make your kids eat as a family. Our lives are a blur of incessant activity. Meals together are a physical pause to recover a truth so easily sacrificed at the altar of busyness. Whew, isn't that a meaty sentence? Meals together are a physical pause to recover a truth so easily sacrificed at the altar of busyness. Nothing's more important than family. Yeah, I love that. You know, sitting in front of the telly eating is, it's probably instilling the lesson that family time, family conversation is not as important as what's going on in the news. And that's simply not true. You know, whatever's going on telly is still going to be going on when you're finished eating. You know, in this world of technology, we can go back and rewatch anything. So nothing needs to be watched or done right at that time. We don't need to work and eat our dinner. So I love that. You know, my adult children that move back in, they retaught me the lesson. They always sit at the table and eat, and they instilled that back for me. So I love that we, you know, when we cook together, we sit down and we eat it together. Really love that. Even with the adult kids. The boredom fight. Oh, this is possibly the biggest one. The boredom fight. Make your kids live with boredom. Don't show a DVD on every car ride. Kids need unscheduled time. And odd as it sounds, boredom is a skill. It's hard as a parent to deal with the assault of boredom complaints. But if you give in and fill up their time with external stimuli, you raise an activity addict. Make them learn how to be. I love that. I struggled with boredom as a kid, and yet my parents never filled that time for me, and so I was forced to fill in my own time. And as a result, I am able to fill in my time. I don't need to be busy, busy, busy doing everything all the time and being all things to everybody. I don't. I can just be. I can get pleasure out of something really simple. And I don't find my own company boring. I love that for me. The me first fight. Fantastic. I really struggle this with one child in particular that I'm thinking of. Make your kids go last. Not every time for everything, but enough to remember that the world doesn't revolve around them. Take the smallest piece. Give up the remote. Do someone else's chores. Get their least favourite choice. They won't like it, but they need it. I love this. Really love this. Because too often, what I've observed is that parents will take the smallest piece of cake because they think their kids need the biggest piece. Bullshit. Whoever gets there first can have the biggest piece, or make them have the smallest piece. Make them have the burnt piece. Make them have the bit that's got the bit chunk cut out of it. You know, because they don't have to have the best every time. Sometimes you can give the best to somebody else. Sometimes you can have the best. They don't have to have it every time. And this bit, you know, this kōrero that I'm doing, it's so true. Let them go last. Make them go last. Make them wait for something. Don't give in so easily. You will be doing them a huge injustice if you do. The awkward conversation fight. Make your kids have uncomfortable conversations with you. Sex, dating, body image, values. Your kids will roll their eyes and resist. You will stumble and stutter. They need and want your perspective, lessons learned, and wisdom. I love that. We assume often that our kids they know everything. They get that information from social media or from their friends. But it's information shared through the lens of another child. It doesn't come with the wisdom of experience, the lessons that you learned, the failure that you faced, doing all of the things that you've experienced in your life. And they're valuable, courageous conversations to have. I don't call them, I always used to call them uncomfortable conversations. I don't anymore. I call them courageous conversations. Because it takes courage to have vulnerable, open, honest conversations with people and your kids first and foremost. And it's not easy to show your flaws as a human being, your flawed self to your kids. You know, it's very easy to want to protect them from our shortcomings. But they need to know that we're just human, that we fuck up like everybody else. Right down to using the word fuck because we couldn't think of another better word to come up with and describe that feeling of, oh, fuck. Let them know. You know, sometimes when kids ask a question, they already know the answer. So protecting them from the truth is actually instilling in them that it's okay to lie, that protecting your relationship is less important than maintaining an image. It's not true. Be truthful and open and honest with your kids. They will value that and you'll have a better relationship for it. The limitation fight, learning to live within limits, is a valuable life skill. In fact, many adult problems arise from an inability to accept them. Screen time limits, dietary limits, activity limits, and schedule limits are all good. Wow, limitations. How dare we limit them? How dare we limit their screen time? How dare we tell them when they've had enough to eat? How dare we tell them that it's time to go home, that you're sick and tired of sitting at the bloody pool anymore? How dare you? How dare you tell them when they need to go to bed? See, boundaries. Kids feel safe with boundaries. They really do. And they will accept it if you're consistent. I've learned that consistency is key. Don't come down all guns blazing on an issue and give in 3 days later. If this is going to be a bugbear for you, you have to have the courage to say no every single time. You know, bedtimes were a real issue with me with my kids, and they knew that they couldn't be persuaded. Their bedtime was their bedtime. We negotiated it every year. They knew that it wasn't going to be forever, that they weren't going to have to go to bed at 7:30 for the rest of their life. But they accepted it because it was a consistent rule in our house. So that would be my number one tip, is be consistent as a parent. As a parent, you need to learn to pick your battles. They're not easy. But they are worth the fight. What you're doing is you're fighting for integrity as a parent, and you're fighting for your kids' integrity and your kids' character. You know, you want to raise kids that, as an adult, people like. Isn't that what we all want? You know, we need to see and hear our kids. Don't get me wrong. That's a valuable, valuable lesson that I learned from needing to be seen and heard myself. But there's nothing wrong in saying no to your kids. Maybe we need to dress it up in some new language. Maybe I've learned that as a grandmother, that there is a way that we can say it in a better way, that we can teach some emotional intelligence around these no's that we give them. But it's all for a good cause, because our relationship with our kids are worth it. Your kids are worth it. And I just want to end by saying you're doing a good job. You are doing the best that you can. But there's always room for improvement, right? Okay, I'll end on that. I hope that you give your kids the gift of your time above all else, because then they will feel seen and heard. Ka kite.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.